Thank you. up woman that isn't the right teacher. God lacks no trust in this holy one. If even the heavens are not clear in his eyes, how much more man who is vile and corrupt and dressed up in the last law.
What my son did on that tree pays. Ten of my
discovered. You know there's two ways to discover the holiness of God. One is through renewing your mind in Scripture. The other is the discipline that comes upon our house of God.
Among many.
Your generation will require a lot of prayer. In order for you to escape the coming judgment of God on the earth, because if we would learn holiness, we're coming.
If we were to think back only 200 years ago,
today,
300 years
in
ago,
Christianity, we hear a great deal about the presence of God.
We would see that the talk
the presence of
Christianity was about God.
It was a wonderful prize.
Books that were written by the Spurgeon and the Puritan,
it
was about what is the gospel about. How can we comprehend the gospel? How do we read the gospel? What is true conversion?
God.
How can we know when someone has truly been born again?
Go into
the marriage. It's almost as though the angels would gather around the other side of the door and say, who is this that cries out to these doors? No man has ever ascended to this place. Who would dare lay their hands on the latch of this door and think he's worthy to pass through the big to do today about discipleship? And I believe we ought to do discipleship. But I often hear people say today, we have so many people coming in through the front door of the church, but the moment they come in, they're leaving through the back door of the church. The reason why they're not coming in is because we're not discipling them. That is not true. The reason why they're not saying is because they were never born again.
God never appears to anyone.
We've got them today.
Glory, he would be destroyed.
You know,
Scared, mad, and bad. Hold down. Daddy. One time I was in church and said, oh, the presence of God is here, isn't it? And I knew the church well. I said, no, it's not. And they said, why? I said, you're fasting your head. But I want you to know something. Until you know who God is and the privilege it is to be in His presence, you probably don't have any right to be there. You've got to know this God of yours before you start doing foolish things before Him.
Will
be their God, and they will be their God. One time I was in a meeting, I was preaching a lot of places, but here, charismatic, Baptist, the whole gang. One time I was in church and said, oh, the presence of God is here, isn't it? And I knew the church well. I said, no, it's not. And they said, why? I said, because Matthew is dead. We buried him. We've made God into a problem. It's not a wise thing to trust. Now, look at Isaiah. Who was Isaiah? Was he a great man of God? No, we've already said that. There's no such thing as a great man of God. But he was something, and he's dead. Why? Because flowing streams never hurt anyone. We've got to take God. But I want you to know when God comes to this man, he always doesn't always do it to him. It's a cool man or a cool stream. He comes from fire. Fire that cannot be handled. A fire that has no end. The fire that does not consume itself, but can consume. All that is uncomfortable before. A dangerous
thing. The
industry is
outside of here. That's the church of Jesus Christ.
Look at the end of that. Look at the right there. Verse 3. Verse 2.
And everyone said,
when you choose, they cover their faces with two, they cover their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, 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 the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. What a
parrot!
We really don't know. Their proximity to the throne of God. They are closer to the throne of God, the presence of God, than our decrees are recorded in Scripture. And from what we understand about other created beings like them, these are powerful things. They would have rented an officer to wipe out our universe. With regard to holiness, well, look at these. They're standing and flying even in the very presence of Almighty God. And if we were even to draw near to a fraction of that glory, we would be destroyed. And yet they live in that glory. And yet even though they are so majestic and so holy, how are they in the presence of God? I tell you how they are. They bow their heads and cry out holy. They cover their faces. They cover the I'm always asking myself, why on earth do they cover the feet? I mean, what is feet having to do with holiness? What is feet? I never could figure that out, honestly, until one day I was listening to R.C. Sproul. And I think he hit upon the thing. He said, feet are always associated with clay. And clay was a creature just stuff. And these majestic beings, even in the presence of God, were bowing their heads and covering their feet, acknowledging that they were a creature and they were not God. And the place that they held was a place not their right, was not their right to be there, but their privilege. gracious. Look at the way they act in the presence of God and then look at you. Have you ever heard the saying, fools rush in where angels fear spread? Physician healed by you. He's talking about us, the church of America. My friend, let me preach to you the book of Romans. I can talk to you about access into the presence of God and stand in the joy of the Lord. Yes, we have access to God. I know I'm sounding very but I want you to know something. Until you know who God is and the privilege it is to be in His presence, you probably don't have any right to be there. You've got to know this God of yours before you start doing foolish things before everything and shame and glory. One time I was in a meeting. I used to preach in a lot of places. Presbyterian, charismatic, Baptist, old gamut. One time I was in church and they said, oh, the presence of God is here, isn't it? And I knew the church well. I said, no, it's not. And they said, why? I said, because half of you would be dead.
Move exactly as my commander is
they bow
and they worship.
He makes God to come.
It's
not a wise man.
Now,
look at Isaiah. Who was Isaiah? Was he a great man of God? No, we've already settled that. There's no such thing as a great man of God. But he wanted something in his day. He preached more about Christ than any man in the entire Old Testament. He knew more about the revelation of God than anyone. And as far as dedication to his tradition tells us, he was taught in Jew with a wooden saw because he would not denounce the word of Jehovah that came through his lips. So I'd say he was pretty much the same as God. He comes into the presence of God. What does he do? But God. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The NIV that I'm using here does not translate this strong enough. What is Isaiah doing? He's pronouncing a curse of death upon himself. Woe is a curse. And then he's saying, I am cut off, or let me be cut off. Isn't it amazing? We think we come into the presence of God and we get all jittery, and some people break out in hysterics and fall on the ground, and others of us jump around even though we know we're walking in sin. But when this man of God comes into the presence of God, the only thing he can think about doing is pronouncing a curse of death upon himself and confessing his sin before Almighty God. Now that ought to tell you that there's something terribly wrong with our Christianity today. Dr. Lee Blair, Southwest Theological Seminary, is a very worthy man. I've learned a great deal from him. And he speaks about a balance in the worship of God, and what he says is true. He talks about the throne room experience and the banquet room experience, the wedding experience, the Cana experience in Christ. And we need to hold on to those two things. What I'm talking about is here we have the throne room experience where God manifests His glory and men are struck down before Him because of His great holiness. That should occur in your life. There should be times when God manifests Himself to you that you are thrown down and you tremble before Him because of His greatness and His holiness. That's true. But there are also other times when you come before God and it's like that wedding day that Jesus had in John chapter 2 in his gospel. When you can worship God with joy and even laughter and raising your hands and even being childish before Him. Or you can leap with joy. You can have a good time in the presence of Almighty God. Yes, that's true. But you need to see that there are two types of manifestations here. And in America today, the only thing we've got are children dancing before God. And they remain children because they never go close enough to God to know the other side. Thank you.
Thank you.